can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, now, Don, we got a bit to unpack today. That's the old, that's just a phrase that people use, Don, a bit to unpack. What a week the grand final week was, wasn't it?
Why? What was so special about it?
I was going to tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. First of all, there was far too many shout-outs today. I know the doc from Sydney doesn't like me doing this, but far too many shout-outs. I went to 3 functions last week on grand final week.
Right.
And the number of people that came up and said they listen and wanted to shout-out, and because I didn't have a paper and pen, I couldn't write them down, so we're sending out a shout-out to all those that said I would send a shout-out to, but I couldn't remember their names.
And I've forgotten, this is bad, isn't it? Maybe I've got too much in my mind, but a lady came up to me on the station at Richmond after the grand final and said, would you reply to her messages? What, she must text you, but I've forgotten the name. So there's another shout out. I just said you were consistent to sort of your form of being rude and not replying.
Oh, well, I just don't realise.
Now, I've forgotten the lady's name, but she...
I don't realise that they've had the messages sent unless I trawled through them, and I'm not really au fait with it all, Donald.
What, are you that popular? You got so many, have you?
Well, people, because you distance yourself from any of this, because you, not only do you distance yourself, you just refuse to be part of the social media, so it all comes back to me.
That's right. You want to remain relevant. I couldn't care less.
I don't want to remain relevant. I just do this so I don't have any other social intercourse with the social media than advertising what we do on the podcast here.
What about social intercourse anyway? How's that going?
Intercourse?
Social intercourse.
I have social intercourse with people, but I don't have sexual intercourse with them.
Okay. Yeah.
If
okay.
That's what you were getting at.
Well, no, I wasn't getting it at all.
Okay, good. So I was in Ben Cousins' company at one of the functions.
Ben's anybody else's company at any of the functions?
Yeah, plenty of people, but I was just saying Ben Cousins.
Who was the tall blonde?
Well, Don, I've run into several tall blondes.
No,
in
there
which
was one in particular.
Was there? Whereabouts?
Yes, you collar and tie.
Yeah,
she obviously kept you in line because there was no altercation in the MCC members.
I escorted a person.
Escorted?
Yes, escorted. I escorted a person to the members because I got them in on my, I was going to say ladies' ticket, but it's a guest pass called these days. And so I accompanied this person on the basis that give her the guest pass because she was a Geelong supporter, I should at least accompany her. And I'm very glad I did.
What about the life members? You could have brought her across.
What?
You could have brought her to our function.
I didn't know it was on.
It's called the life members.
Well, I didn't know it was on.
And you could have mixed with...
Well, I didn't know it was on. Just, we'll get on to that in a minute. And I'm very glad I did go with someone because I would have left at halftime had not she been there.
I would have I left at the 20-minute mark.
We'll get on to that in a minute. We'll get on to that in a minute. So you're at the life members function. Were you aware in the members?
No, in the rider room.
Which side of the ground's that? That's the members' side.
That's the south side.
Where the sun was.
Opposite the members.
Oh, no, of course, we were in the members.
Yeah, I know. I went there with you one day. That was quite an eventful day. You and Nigel Murch.
I know you're going to say, and I punched them.
No, I didn't. Nigel Murch, you were on good behaviour, but Nigel Murch, if you remember, went through the man's lunch in front of us.
He did. Now, Don, he did too. The man went up to, I think, go to the cars.
And he gave a commentary. Do you remember the commentary on the blokes coming out of the, jumped out of the plane with a parachute. Nigel gave us a commentary.
He did too. Now, the late Nigel Murch. And now, Don, so what was the life members function like over in the rider room? Who was there?
I was thinking of his commentary.
Who was there?
Oh, well, let me see. Robert Harvey. You know Robert Harvey?
Yeah, I know
assistant,
Robert Harvey.
Yeah, Robert Harvey. Simon Madden.
Right, good.
Shane Crawford, our friend Shane Crawford.
He was there, was he?
Now, listen, is there something going on with these Assumption boys? You had a fellow from Assumption with him. They're a tight-knit group, aren't they, Assumption? These boarders. Were you a boarder?
Yeah.
What goes on? Why is there a bond between you boarders?
They corral themselves into a cabal to keep away from the
You keep going. I want to know what goes on with the boarding house.
Yes,
in the boarding
they get into a tight knit group to form a mass wall against the against the priests and that who might be.
And you had this experience at Geelong?
No, we didn't have priests at Geelong.
What did you have?
Well, we had masters.
Masters?
Yeah, masters, you know, people who teach you.
But it doesn't matter whether you're a master or a priest, does it?
We're a very tight-knit group. We just keep well back from them in case they make any untoward advances. But that didn't happen with me or us at our school.
Anyway, there's quite an alumni at Assumption.
Yeah.
In fact, wherever Shane goes, he takes a boy from Assumption with him. Or man, or acquaintance, or school.
But one of the priests?
Well, no, I don't think he looked like a
got
priest.
Got the
fella.
Christian brother's eyes?
Well, no, I don't think.
His pupils are all fucked. Now, Don, now listen to me. I saw...
Wayne Schimmelbusch was there. He was in good form.
Great player. Great players, those people you mentioned, or else they wouldn't be there, I suppose.
In the life members. And isn't it interesting you have that rapport with them?
It's a pity they weren't playing in the game. They might have given us something we could have recognised, as in AFL football.
Could I ask you?
Good on Geelong, incidentally.
Oh, yeah. Can I ask you something? The most obvious thing is Hawkins at full forward when he goes and does the ruck work.
Yes.
How would you approach him when he's contesting the ruck work in the forward pocket?
Probably he's a very big, strong lad. Probably get in front of him.
Thank you. And what else would you do? Anything else?
Oh, well, back into him, do all that sort of stuff.
Well done, yep.
So he couldn't use his assets. Always play people on their weaknesses, not their strengths.
That's it.
And, Don, that was the forerunner of the most pathetic performance by a football side, not because they got beaten handsomely, but because they were insipid and they were vapid, which means weak, and not one stage in that game when they were going further and further down the gurgler did anyone on the outside of that field try and change the way they played. And for Tom Hawkins to be able to grab the ball out of the air and kick two goals in a row, mate, that was the writing was on the wall, and you thought, playing against?
The second one, John. Now, the ruckman stood on the attacking side, not on the defensive side of Hawkins. In other words, the defensive side is standing between or starting between the goals and your opponent. Mm. He stood on the other side. Hawkins just turned his ass and had an open shot for...
That's
mate.
That's right, because they have no idea what they're trying to do.
I saw a bloke run at the ball, not with his body behind it, then put a hand out. I mean, are they fair, dinkum?
We'll get on to Geelong and... the Swans in a minute. I want to go. Wait till we speak about the grand final day. I don't care where this ends us or where it heads to. We've got to push back on this nonsense, which we will. I think I saw Dr. James Stewart, the marijuana oil man.
Where?
I thought I saw him at the at the grand final.
What, in the members?
Signing autographs.
Bullshit.
I thought I did because...
Did you go up to him?
I'm sure I recognised
him. What, he had so many people around him?
Well, I think they must have gravitated. It must have been his clients that probably have gone along to see him because we suggested marijuana oil is good for your fingers, and we've mentioned him, and they've obviously Googled him and gone, and they recognised him, and I think he was signing autographs more than the players. Isn't that amazing?
I didn't know whether a 7:30 report or something the other day, again, another thing on marijuana oil. When is it going to become a product? Because they've just released a lot of products medicinal, on the PBS. Why doesn't this stuff qualify to come on the PBS?
Don, do you think I'm a doctor? I have no idea.
Well, you don't have to be a doctor. I mean...
Yes, you do.
Why? Why have you got to be a doctor to put it on the PBS? Well, they're putting all these other drugs on.
Yeah, well, someone's got to put it on. You use it and you say it's doing you good, and that's what we say, so I don't have to... This is one of the reasons I don't get back to people on the social media, because I have too many requests about various things. Mind you, I don't see them, but we do it verbally. We say,
so you actually ignored that lady on the station.
Look him up on the Google machine. What?
Who?
Stuart.
Who, Jimmy?
The doctor.
Yeah, what?
Well, if you want to see what the marijuana oil is about, because you keep saying it's good, well, then don't come through us. And I, instead of having to reply to people on social media, I'm just doing it verbally now. Cut us out. Just go and speak to him direct, Dr. James Stewart. Now, Don, also, I jumped the gun last week. Mick Christian, you know Mick? He's down at Tasmania.
Yeah, the hat man.
Yeah, the hat man. Well, he said that he's had plenty of orders for the hats. He said, but
don't tell me he hasn't got them.
Of course he hasn't got them, because I know that was my fault, Don. He said he sent me over a sample, which I showed you, and here it is. I'm showing it to you now.
Looks like one of those Donald Trump hats, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Make America great again. That's right. You would wish we had those hats. We would have sold a million of those. Now, Don, he said... don't say that the hats are available, because I sent the sample over to you last week for your ratification, which me saying that they're okay. So once I got the ratification, I go and order them. What do you think? I can just order them and they manufacture them overnight. He said they're about 2 or 3 weeks away, the hats, because they have to get them manufactured.
Try 5 or 6.
Oh, well, he said 2 or 3. He's got people, they're Australian made, he says.
Right, those...
He said,
I reckon they'll be made in Hong Kong or China or somewhere.
He's getting them embroidered in Australia.
Yeah, but the hat's made overseas.
Oh, well, the hat might be made overseas, but you buy the plain hats and he's getting them embroidered. Jeez, why am I speaking? So anyhow...
Don't blaspheme, why?
So, Don, he's getting them embroidered in Tasmania. Let's hope they have some of the spelling right.
I was just going to say.
So anyhow, he's got plenty of orders... Mind you, he said, not a lot from Western Australia. He said, amazingly enough, he said, when we were selling the underwear, he said, we got lots of requests from, do you think Ivan, you know, Ivan who is over there in the mines, do you think Ivan has put people off from Western Australia?
About what?
I don't know. Maybe they've dropped
wearing underpants.
Oh, no, buying hats. I don't know. Anyhow, so you can order the hats, but you can't have them delivered because he hasn't got stock of them yet, but they're going gangbusters, he says, for, what does I say, $39.95 or something.
For that?
What did I say it was?
Jeez, you're ripping them off. Who set the price?
Don.
You wouldn't give two bob for that.
You would know, because if you go into a golf, these are golf hats, you know, the golf caps.
Yeah, pea caps.
Yeah, they cost far more than that. And yeah, these are specific, these are... Bespoke.
Bespoke?
They're bespoke. They're bespoke caps, Don. They're made specially for us. Well, they're sort of bespoke. So that's Mick. That's Mick.
She's very...
Don. Right, now, so I'm just warming up to the grand final day.
I'm wanting to know who the long-legged blonde is.
What?
You haven't answered my question.
Oh, you want a name?
Yeah. I had a coffee this morning down at our coffee shop, and the fellow I had it with wanted to know who it was too, so it's on everybody's lips.
No, it's not.
It is.
There's a friend of mine who I escorted to the... because I'd given her my guest pass, and I thought... the only probably decent thing to do would be to get her in case there was a problem with the guest pass, because I've never used it before.
You took a lot of attention. You took a lot of care in your appearance too, they tell me.
No, because I told you, and incidentally, the MCG, MCC staff were fantastic, because I did have a little trouble the year before, a couple of years before, when I didn't have a shirt and I didn't have lace-up shoes, and they were very, very
obliging.
So what
did we wear this time?
Oh, I wore a tie and a
lace-up shoes,
jacket, what?
Lace-up shoes?
Well, now, there's an interesting thing. I had lace-up suede shoes on, and the very charming lass looked at me, and she looked down at my feet, and she said, Sam, she said, they're not quite...
Not John, but Sam.
What?
Why?
What'd you say then?
It's not Sam. It's not John, it's Sam.
She said Sam, Don. I'm not saying... I'm not calling myself Sam. She said, Sam... the shoes are not quite kosher, meaning they're not quite...
what?
And I said to her, which is true, and I showed her, I said, I have a disabled pass because I have a very sore ankle and I can't get any other shoes on, which is a fact. And I showed her my ankle that was bandaged up, and she said, okay, she said, that's quite okay, she said, but I'm just telling you that they're not quite as they should be. Lace-up suede shoes. I thought, well, wow. But I did have a tie on and a nice coat. I had a Geelong tie on.
Did you shower?
Jumped at what?
Shower, because you don't shower often.
Did I what?
Did you shower?
At the MCG? Personal,
for the, well, going out. You only shower a couple of times a week.
Are we talking about... What are we talking about?
Talking about you.
Got a shower with the person I went with?
No.
Oh. What do you mean, did I have a shower?
Well, I just told you.
Well, I have a shower a couple of times a week, yes.
A couple. Why not every day?
It's not necessary.
Why?
Well, because I don't do anything to soil my body.
Oh, really?
No. I ablute... But I wash myself, but I don't shower.
You should shower every day.
No, you shouldn't. Who
Why?
Said? You should. That's like saying you should have three meals a day. Who said you should? Who said you should have three shower every day?
Do you know the Americans changed in the Second World War, changed our bathing habits?
What?
Prior to the Americans coming in the Second World War, they used to shower or bath every second or third day in Australia. But when the Americans came, they
Maybe a little scarcity of water, Don, or hot water in the war. Rations could have been on. Rations, you know?
Yeah.
They were eating spam in those
maybe
days,
maybe you're
Don.
Still living pre-Second World War.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm a war baby. I'm a war baby like you
Aren't
are.
We are? Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Well, our vintage.
Anyhow, Don, her name is irrelevant. I only went with her. I went with her to get her in to do the right thing, and she really enjoyed it. And I stayed till the end. I stayed till
But you vanished at half time, I was told. My informant said he wasn't there after half time.
Yes, I was. No, I didn't go back to the seat I was in, but I went in for. They have scones and scones in the dining room.
We had
and
scones.
I got a seat in the dining room. Very charming people let me in. And we sat there, and we have a table that you book for the whole day. And I had scones at half time, and
coffee.
As the game was so one-sided, I didn't go back down to the ground level to our seats, which were very good seats, which the lady at the MCC provided for me. And you know,
disabled seats.
No, you don't have to. What? You don't have to pay for them, but so we stayed up. We stayed up where the dining room was and watched it from a bit of a higher vantage point. And the game was incidental because it was Geelong were fantastic because they did what they had to do. But
you've played in one of those games,
yep,
and so have I.
Yep.
And I feel for the Sydney guys, and having been there.
Yep.
In 1975, North Melbourne beat us by 60-odd points. There is just nothing. When things go wrong in those games, there's nothing you can do to rectify it.
Tell you who I did. Well, you could change the way you play a little, the game plan.
Well, you played in a game in a final and you were accused of laying down.
Yeah, I was.
So why didn't you change it then?
Because, Don, it's all right for me to be... us to play poorly, But if some instruction comes out from the bench and says, okay, we're not going too well like this, why don't we try something else? Like
what?
Well, in those days, maybe retaining the ball or kicking it out to the flanks, I don't know. But that side, the Swans, from day one until they were 12 goals down, still played the same football, as in chipping it round the back line, across the goals, when all they were doing is running the clock down themselves. They had no intention of trying to drive the ball forward. And I tell you, I did feel sorry for Buddy Franklin.
Why?
Well, because Buddy Franklin he looked like Joe Biden. He was tottery, he was doddery, and he was completely—he was just like a fish out of water. And for a great player that he's been, it was actually pretty not embarrassing. It was pretty sad actually, because he was meant to be the man.
And they used his face, didn't they, in the preamble? Which I couldn't understand.
Wait till I get onto the preamble, Don. We haven't just...
No, this is a build-up to the game. Yeah, he was the face of Sydney.
Yes.
And I don't think he... Well, I don't think his form had warranted being the face of Sydney. But you've got to take it to... There's two teams that I admired, and they were short in ability. One was Brisbane. They gave everything they had, but they're short on ability, hence they didn't go that far. And Sydney were exactly the same. You couldn't question the way they went about it in
what
the finals.
What about Collingwood?
No, Collingwood have got more ability than Sydney and Brisbane. But those two teams were lacking in ability, but they certainly gave of their all and gave what they could, and it's just not good enough.
Not on Saturday, they didn't. They were actually disgraceful. So, Don, we haven't got on to... So the people running the competition, what is it? Do you think they've got their head up their own ass? What would you put players in a boat for and send them up the river? Now, we said that this wouldn't...
But they're trying something different.
Something
different.
Why would you try... Why would you put people in a boat and go up a river?
I agree, but you've got to do... You at least try something. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
You're not?
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a good idea. And it failed and whatever else. But at least they're trying things or thinking a bit differently.
No, so if it's not broken, don't fix it, Doc.
That's exactly... I agree with that, but you've also got to compliment them on the fact that they're looking to improve a situation.
Don, you contradicted yourself. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So what's wrong with putting people
look
in
at
a car and driving them up Flinders Street or the main street of so the fans can see them?
Yep.
That's worked for ages.
Yes.
It's from time immemorial.
Yes.
So why would you put people in a boat?
No argument.
Well, there you are. Well, then why would you try something
but
different?
But at least they're trying something.
Well, why would you try something different when it's working in the first place? Mm. So that was...
There might be other things they could fine-tune too, and make it better. Keep going.
Like what?
No, you've got to look at everything, even this podcast. You've got to look at it. How do we fine-tune?
Even this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, you have... Well.
Well, I spoke to a... Well, we used him as a consultant. He says he's a little bit miffed. He hasn't been consulted lately, so the edge of this podcast must have tapered off a bit. Justin Quill.
The lawyer?
Hmm. He says he hasn't been consulted lately, whereas years ago, a couple of years ago when we started, we were on the phone to him every day about what we could say and what we couldn't say.
Well, how has that meant that we're dropping off the edge?
We're not as edgy as what we were.
Not as edgy?
Yeah. We're not consulting Justin.
I ain't started yet. You wait.
What? Well, don't you. I've got the blipper, have you?
I've got a blipper. Now, listen. And just shows you how the priorities are, what the priorities are in the world we live in. I notice a man flying on Qantas, a business class customer, railed up against the Qantas people, saying that he couldn't get a vegetarian meal in business class. And they said, no, we're not giving vegetarian meals at this stage because, you know, staff are a bit short. And he said, well, he was going to start a campaign to get people not to fly Qantas. So Qantas backed down, Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce.
What, so he can get a meal now?
Yeah, so you can get vegetarian meals on the plane. Christ, if you couldn't come from Sydney to Melbourne without having a meal or whinging about whether it's vegetarian or not... fair dinkum, seriously. So he ramped up, and so Mr. Joyce and Mr.
Talking
Joyce
about
now
meals?
What? Hmm?
Talking about meals.
Yeah, meals. Yeah, I was sort of talking about meals.
Yeah, you were, and it's a bit of a lead-in. Be Fit Foods.
B-Fit.
Yeah. Have you used your yet out of the freezer?
Yes.
Because I actually went down and bought some the other day from, I think it was
where. You're obviously getting it for nothing because
no,
this is the 15th time you've mentioned B-Fit Foods.
I did not, but I
will
plug it.
What's the woman's name? Kate Save.
Kate. I went to Woolworths at Benton Square, either it's Coles or Woolworths, and I bought them, actually. And
what was it like, Don?
Very, very nice.
Tell everyone, I had, seeing we can turn it into a cooking segment, how did you prepare it?
Well, you got to put it in, it's frozen, so you put it in, defrost it,
yeah,
and then let
right.
it, you put it on, I don't know, whatever it is,
well,
for 3 minutes, 3 minutes,
this is on
let it stand, but I had
3 minutes what, in the oven?
Instead of going and buying fish and chips or Chinese, I went and bought this as a meal and it was very, very nice.
So
soup, there was soup and spaghetti bolognese.
So you defrost it then you put it in a microwave or an oven.
Have you eaten yours yet?
Yes. I'm asking you to give the listener a view on how you cook a Kate Save's B-Fit food. How
do you put it in the microwave?
Oh, that's right. So you didn't say that. You just said you heated it up.
Well, it's frozen.
Well, you defrost it.
3 minutes. And let it stand for a minute.
What's your fare of choice, Don? What was
what?
What is your fare? Fare. You call food a fare, you know? What fare did you eat? Fare.
I had spaghetti bolognese one night.
Yeah.
And I went back the next time and got ginger fish, I think it was.
Ginger Mick.
Ginger what? Are you allowed to say that?
Ginger
fish.
That's the odd.
And it was a soup. I don't know what the soup was, but it was also very nice.
Ginger Rogers, remember her?
Yeah, she was
that
an
was
actress.
That old joke. Two red-headed sailors walking down the footpath with Ginger Mick. Now, Don, listen. Geelong, you know how they have Mad Monday. Geelong are a classy mob, you know. Geelong, the footballers.
Did you
see that great shot of them? They all dressed up because they
I thought it was ingenious.
They were the oldest side.
Ingenious.
And what a fantastic yep. effort they went to.
Fantastic.
I looked at that and I thought, who are these old bozos?
Yep.
And when you look at them, they're actually the Geelong players.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
It was, as opposed to getting pissed and getting
they probably
hammered on drugs. And
well, they probably did that when they went inside.
Oh, no, the Geelong boys wouldn't be on, they wouldn't be on fly-blown on analgesics or anything. They were a very sensible club. What a great club that, what a great exhibition.
Who presented the medal?
Which medal?
Well, you know, they get medals or something, don't they, at the end of the game? I was
I did. Isaac Smith got the Norm Smith.
Yeah, well, who presented it?
Nathan Buckley, didn't
what?
He? I think Nathan Buckley
Why
did.
Didn't you get the gig?
Hang on. Nathan Buckley presented the Norm Smith medal to Isaac Smith. And Nathan, I'm telling you this now, Nathan, if you're going to get the gig, at least have the preps, at least give it the due consideration it deserves, put
right.
a tie on. He
oh, really?
Walked up there in a sort of a duffel coat.
Now, I'm
and
being
I
serious.
Would like him to be yeah. put a tie on. John Nicholls gave the John Nicholls.
You're joking.
Gave the Premiership Cup, I think, did he? To
hang on, can I bring something up? There are two elder statesmen at Geelong.
Yes.
And you tell me, one is Doug Wade. Is Doug... Would Doug be able to present or do something?
Doug probably would be able
okay.
to.
Okay,
yeah.
And the other is yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now why weren't you two consulted?
Well,
to me, you're the elder statesman
yeah, well,
on
yeah.
the playing list at Geelong.
Right. Well, that's completely up to
Doug. So they had John Nicholls.
Now, well, John Nicholls gave the Premiership Cup, I think.
I don't care.
The people who give the medals were a whole bunch of kids who were
okay.
Played
well,
in
but
a,
hang on, there was Nathan Buckley and John thing. Nicholls. I was on the train to back home, so I didn't see it. That's shocking. You should. That's not respectful.
Don't worry about that. No, that doesn't.
Well, I do.
Oh, good. Now, so let me just get. So here we go. So this is the grand final day. It was marred by two things. Marred by two things. I'm not sure if we should do this now. Or we probably will. We will do this now. First of all, Robbie Williams was fantastic.
Fantastic.
Absolutely
fantastic.
Apparently got a couple of mil to do it. Would you
well,
think that's right?
The trouble, I believe, with the MCG and as a sport, you cannot fill that arena. It is so big. And you lose the intimacy that exists at an NFL game or a rugby league game or a soccer ground, because they're, you know, they're small, you can fill it up. But they did a terrific job in filling the MCG, vast arena, and to fill it the way they
capacity
did.
Capacity.
No, no, the, I'm talking about the arena, oh, yes, filling it up. Oh, I've been there for you too.
On the playing surface.
Yes, I've been there for concerts, yeah, and they only use half the ground.
It's fantastic, Don.
And the way they fill that up, and the
we give credit it was, where it's due.
And his choice of music.
Oh, yes, identifying John Farnham and Shane Warne in front of his stand.
And Let Me Entertain You, that's a great
Thank
song.
Thank you, Don, he was fantastic. Right. Mike Brady was like, don't I know people say, oh, Mike Brady's going to sing again. What are you shaking your head for?
He's fantastic.
He was
That is synonymous with football.
And all the crowd sang. It was great.
I make one suggestion? Why don't they, because Australians are not good at participating. I was embarrassed when I've been to Ireland and go to the singing pubs where everybody just joins in and they're very uninhibited. Why couldn't they help we Australians by putting the lyrics in the football record? So we could at least look and sing along.
Yes, and I'll tell you who got some criticism. The woman who sang the national anthem, people said, could we just sing it straight without any variation to her vocal gymnastics? We just
Who sang? I was in the function.
I don't know who sang. I should know. I could Google it. She sang beautifully, but at the end she went into a twirl and a bit of a ending that no one recognised, just putting her own, stamping spin, her own imprimatur on it. And people said, that's not, that our national anthem is not to be toyed with. You just sing it straight. Mm-hmm. And people, so then, wow. Then it started.
What?
This patronising nonsense about us welcoming the original landowners to this country. How many times have I told you, Don?
Can I ask you a question?
Before that just gets truncated. Absolutely, we admire and we respect and we give thanks to the traditional landowners for where the game is to be played, and with that we acknowledge that. But the virtuous patronising nonsense that the AFL go on with, a patronising campaign to the foster this feigned indignation to divert from their own paranoid white privilege. All they do is driving a wedge between the footballing public. Yet we see through it. It is absolute. We had a man with a beard came out and told us to start with. He did it the week before about where the boundaries of all the various tribes and things go. Just an absolute propaganda chat about nothing. And then, wasn't necessary for a start. Then the CEO's brother gave us welcome to country, another...
Hang on. Who? Hamish McLaughlin? Yep,
gave us another... He gave us a welcome to country.
What do you mean? Well, I don't well, know. I didn't watch it.
Well, I did. We were a captive
I was
audience.
I was in the
okay,
function.
Okay, well, I watched it. So he gave out the welcome to country that I said. Absolutely. So that's two of them. And then... a man with a jolly title of Uncle Jack...
What?
Did Uncle Jack, they did a eulogy to an Indigenous man called Uncle Jack, who I believe didn't play football at all. I had no idea why they did that.
Really?
They did.
Did they do anything for Ellen Islet?
They had a thing on the scoreboard, okay, hastily prepared. So they gave Uncle Jack, whoever Uncle Jack was. So I
Jack looked, Charles.
Good.
I told you the week before he grew up at... He grew up in the Salvation Boys' home at Box Hill, Box Hill.
No, Don, good on Uncle Jack Charles. So why would you actually have to give him a eulogy at the grand final? For what reason?
I don't know.
It's sheer projection, Don. It is sheer projection to it's patronising nonsense. We had three references to Indigenous people. Good on them, but I mean, how many times did they have to fall over themselves to show that we're being woke and we're enlightened? We don't have to be told that, Don. And I'll so I look up Jack Charles. Now, Don, I'm not saying this, but this is what. I don't know why the New York Times got into this.
What?
The New York Times had this about Jack Charles. It says, Melbourne, Australia. Now, I'm just reading this out because of the reason. Jack Charles is one of Australia's leading Indigenous actors and who's been the grandfather of Aboriginal theatre, but whose heroin addiction and penchants for burglary landed him in jail throughout his life, died on... So they say, and I don't care what he's done. I just don't know why he occupied any space or any time at the grand final. And if he was a heroin addict, and if he was a felon, as in a bird, where would that leave someone like Wayne Carey, who's been ostracised from every AFL job and every broadcasting commitment and a job that he's had because he was found with some crushed up antidepressants in a nightclub.
Anti-inflammatory.
Anti-inflammatory things at a nightclub, whether you believe they're anti-inflammatory or not. So he gets railroaded. He actually played football, Wayne Carey. He was a dominant, probably the best player. I understand, not the best, but some people say he was. He played football in the Premiership. He's been a great commentator, and he's been completely thrown under the bus. And yet, Uncle Jack Charles... Good on him. And I see he's getting a state funeral. Good on him for getting
state
that.
State funeral?
Apparently he's getting a state funeral. Didn't the Premier announce it?
Well, I thought that was only for politicians.
I don't know. I have nothing against Uncle Jack Charles at all. But if you could tell me why he occupied space at the grand final after we had a Welcome to Country by the CEO's brother, we had a bloke with a beard to tell us about the history of where the rivers run and who owns them and where our boundaries are. It's just virtuous crap. Now, so don't just take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Have a guess who said this. Have a guess who said this. This is about the voice to Parliament that's about to be... that Albanese is trying to get up and running. Have a guess who said this. There's nothing more damaging and more distracting than going on about Aboriginal voices and a voice to Parliament. It's divisive, it's racially driven, and it's vague. It creates a them and us mentality, you know, Indigenous people against the people who landed here. It's before settlement, Australia, this is what this person said, before settlement, Australia had no governing system. We were just a collection of roaming peoples.
And they were each nation, there were various nations within a country.
Yep, that's right, various tribes have fought and bickered.
Yes.
And then this person says, I reckon I have more in common with white fellas than I do with with Indigenous Australians. All it does is the chat about all this and the projection that the AFL give creates division. It creates division. We have been saying that, Don. We're not against the Indigenous acknowledgement, but it goes on and on, and it's so patronisingly, basically obvious that their naivety is driving people apart. The AFL, this is, because they're just fawning, feigned indignation. And you know who said that? This is Senator Jacinta Nampingina Price, who is an Aboriginal woman. She's the Senator for the Northern Territory. She was the former Deputy Mayor of Alice Springs. She has said all this nonsense about pitting us against them is crap. And that's coming from her. The cringeworthy bullshit that the AFL carry on about acknowledging, how many times do we have to be told, how about we all unite and try and be one? And we, people who settled in this country have made it what it is. As Jacinta Price said, there was nothing here. They were just roaming people. And how about we embrace their culture and they embrace us, rather than the AFL continuing to divide people by this show, this showmanship of just pretension. It is, they should be honestly ashamed of themselves, because they're, all they're doing is they're not uniting people. They just keep driving a wedge between the footballing public, who think, what is this? Why did we have three examples of on grand final day? It was just so obvious. The only thing we, and then they had a non-binary band at halftime. Good on you if you want to.
Hang on. I didn't watch it halftime. Tell me.
I didn't watch it either, but they had a band playing, a non-binary, deliberately a non-binary band. Non-binary means that you don't identify as either a male or a female. You call yourself they. You know, the pronouns
is
they.
Is this the halftime entertainment?
Yes. If people think that that's good, fair enough. But they had it, so they covered that base, that non-binary. We had the indigenous show of just nonsense. And then, the only thing that they didn't have is maybe they could have put Danny Laidley in an open car and driven her around at halftime in the back of a Jeep or something. I mean, seriously, if you can throw more crap at the public, and ask them to adhere to whatever standard that the AFL want them to, I've said this before, if the AFL could just concentrate on getting the game right, the umpiring right, the decisions right, and stop trying to tell people what they should do and what they should think. So other than that, it was a great day. It was a great day. And Geelong were absolutely... It's football I've not recognised, and you and I have never recognised that sort of football.
What's that?
Not, just the way the game's played. But that's
No, hang on. Now we're getting into the football. What do you mean you'd never...
Did you watch the game?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I did for a quarter and a half.
The way it's played?
Well, it took me back to the way it was played, and...
When was it played like that?
Well, we certainly tried to play it like that, and
Hawthorn did.
Listen.
No one took a mark over their head.
Yeah, but hang on. They were moving the ball, endeavouring to move the ball very, very quickly. They were first... Geelong were first to the ball. You talk about Sydney and all the rest of it. You can't do anything unless you're winning the ball. Now, Geelong won the ball, and it was going very quickly into the forward line. Now, when are they going to wake up the coaches? If this is the style of play, you have now got to go back to playing in front of your man, because the ball's going to come down in any which way. And Geelong were in front on the forward line and reaped the benefit.
Geelong were fantastic, Don. All I'm saying is that style of football is a far cry from when you used to play, and when the halcyon days of a spectacle. You could not say that was a great spectacle. Geelong, I'm not...
Well, I think their foot passing and their kicking for goal around corners, the way they can spot a player with a foot pass is really complimentary.
Because that's true, Don, because that's the style of play in this modern era. It's pretty easy to pick out someone with a foot skill if he's 15 metres away and chip the ball to him.
Yeah, but they can pick a bloke out. I watched through the final series. They could have two opponents and they'll pick out the bloke in the centre which the ball's supposed to go to, in between two opponents.
That's right, because they're great small, they're good at chipping the ball, but driving the ball into a contest is not what this game's about, and that's what excites folk. But I'm not taking it. It was Geelong were absolutely supreme. They treated it as a practice game, played accordingly, and the Swans, not because they got beaten handsomely, but because they never tried to change the way they played.
Oh, come on. We've talked about that. Okay, you've played in those games, so have I, and there's nothing you can do. They would be trying things, but things just don't happen for
us. You deliberately don't listen to what I say. You deliberately don't listen.
I do.
You didn't. You don't. I said the people off the ground, that is the coaching staff, never tried to change.
They would have.
They didn't. They didn't. They were still chipping the ball around when they were 12 goals down around the back line with 10 minutes to go. They were still chipping the ball around the back line, the Swans, and hand passing and doing ridiculous things. So that's that. That's that for me. And you said, Don, you said last week, I'm not sure if you said it off air or on air, but you said this is going to build to a crescendo, this nonsense about them and us, the Indigenous people. It's happening in the schools, this CR, this critical race theory being taught to people in the schools for no reason, no reason. How about we say we're Australians, and as Jacinta Price says, we're Australians, and could we actually have a common purpose about what this country is and how it's arrived at where it is? Because the AFL are leading division. They are leading division in this community by this nonsense they carry on with to try and cleanse their soul of some...
You think there is a bit of a move going on? And obviously what we're experiencing here is happening around the world. I thought it was only here in Australia.
Yes.
I thought they had more things to worry about, like wars and whatever else.
Yes, and inflation
but petrol in Italy, prices.
And immigration.
In Italy, yep. They've just had their general election.
Yes.
And a lady from the so-called far right...
Yes.
Won that
just
election.
Just a conservative. Yeah. See,
and
the people
you,
who don't
did
like
did you listen
her.
To her platform?
I did.
Would you
God,
like to...
I know. What is it? God, country and family.
Well done.
Yeah, no, I listened
well
to her.
Done.
Yeah, thank you.
And
they,
that, no, I
she's
th-
got
and all,
criticised for it.
No, she hasn't.
She has.
Well, she hasn't because
by the
she got
woke.
Woo, hang on. She got elected by the majority. So, obviously, they're now... And also, apparently, Sweden... are the same. They're far kind of right, but they're starting to rise against
Sweden
this.
Sweden have had more explosions and gunfire in Sweden and bombings in Sweden with the influx of migrants coming across from Africa and Asia. We live... someone said, I thought of this. We live in a time... where intelligent people are being silenced so that stupid people won't be noticed.
Who said that?
I saw that in a quote. We live in a time where intelligent people are being silenced so that stupid people won't be noticed. The AFL almost fit into that category, that they just keep pushing this nonsense onto us, thinking they're being virtuous. They're being nothing more than patronisingly pathetic, led by puppets in the top office.
Isn't the lady also against immigration or...
She's against illegal immigration.
Illegal aliens.
How about you come into the country under the proper channels? We're fortunate here to a certain extent because we're an island, but we don't have to build fences. But there's 3 million illegal aliens have come across the border under Joe Biden and into America, and God knows who they are. They have no idea who they are. They didn't worry about them with COVID. They didn't give them any tests. They give them mobile phones. They give them driver's license. They're trying to get them to vote so that they keep the Democratic Party in power forever. They are the most dishonest and a bit like Victoria, most dishonest and corrupt government in the business. So there we are, Don. So that's the grand final. It was a fantastic effort. And we're going to come back and I'm going to speak about Hawthorn, your club, because there's some stuff going on there. And you want to be very, very sceptical about what is being said about Hawthorn and the people who are saying it and who they're saying it about. Very sceptical indeed. But it's just salacious, provocative chat at the minute. So, Don, any other further announcements or shout-outs before we close this off? I'll take that as a no.